Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Of course, coming up in an hour's time, we'll get to Get a Grip. But let's waste no time here getting out to the hotline to talk to our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
How you doing?
Kind of a whirlwind of events between the last 2 days. We were disappointed on Sunday, and I feel like I've come up the ranks a little bit to being okay by a Tuesday. So, hey, we're not doing too bad.
You've reached the coping stage of grief.
I don't want to think about it as that, Daryl. I mean, I don't want to go full grief, but you're probably not wrong either.
Or the also known as the bargaining. You're past denial, you're past anger, you're on to bargaining. Hopefully you skip the depression and go straight into acceptance.
Well, that would be listen, I only got like a week to do it, so hopefully we get there by Wednesday at least to acceptance. Daryl, I will say, I started out the show with a question similar to this, so I have to ask you. After watching the Browns play on Sunday, were you closer to being encouraged by what you saw from the team or closer to the loss killing any sliver of hope that you would have for the season?
I think it provided some optimism, but also at the same time, a tremendous amount of disappointment because looking at this schedule, you recognize it is a difficult schedule, especially early in the season. And wins are precious, and they basically gave one away that they can, they're not good enough to be able to give games away. The Baltimore Ravens, they're good enough to be able to give a game away. You know, that loss to the Bills does not end their season and does not change the scope of expectation that folks around the National Football League and fans and media have for them this year. And granted, the loss to the Bengals doesn't really change the scope of the impression of the 2025 Cleveland Browns either, because nobody expects the Browns to do anything this season. But yeah, I mean, you got to go to Baltimore now against a hungry Raven team where they're going to be, you know, celebrating all their success from the last 30 years since that city stole the Browns from Cleveland and renamed them the Ravens, right? And there were a lot of good things to take away from that loss to Cincinnati. But it's frustrating because I feel like we've been sitting here for 27 years saying those exact words after losses. You know, they lost, but there's just so many positives that we can take away from that loss, right? And that's not to discount those positives, because, you know, especially like the rookies, right? But the reality is that loss is extremely frustrating.
All right, Daryl, I mean, you brought up the celebration from the Ravens, so, hey, man, I'll get to it. Is this any indication of the Browns have a chip on their shoulder as an actual team, right? Like, this is something that I think you and I can look at, fans can look at. It pisses you off a little bit that they're celebrating, essentially stealing your team on the day that they play you. Like, that felt like a very intentional move. I mean, is this anything that the players or the team is actually going to play with any extra motivation for?
It's a question that I plan to ask this week in Berea. Here's the reality, and this is not a slight on Kevin Stefanski, the organization, or the players, but let's be honest about it, Jake. They've got other things that they're worrying about, like stopping Lamar Jackson. The NFL and pro sports in general is so transient that emotional bond and that emotional connection with a city and a fan base. Yes, players always say, hey, we do this for the fans. We love our fans. We have the best fans in, you know, insert sport and city here, right? Every player says that. No one's like, yeah, you know, our fans are terrible. We got the worst fans in pro sports and all. No one says any of that. But like, a lot of it's, you know, good sound bites, right? And there really isn't a lot of substance behind it. And so I expect the right things to be said this week. But the reality is, do I think it's going to give them extra motivation? No. Do Browns fans hope it gives them extra motivation? Absolutely 100% they do, because that wound is still gaping. The Ravens have won two Super Bowls. They are a perennial contender to get back to the Super Bowl. They've had multiple franchise quarterbacks. They have a litany of Hall of Famers that were drafted and acquired by Ozzie Newsome, Cleveland Browns Hall of Fame tight end, who, by the way, I guess is going to be one of the game captains on Sunday. And so, meanwhile, Cleveland got back a franchise that has accomplished absolutely nothing in 27 years. Nothing. They've won one playoff game. They've never won a division title. They finish in last or third place pretty much on an annual basis. They've had four winning seasons. So, you know, the pain for Browns fans is still there from what took place in 1995, and leave it to the Ravens to be celebrating that in front of the Browns. And should it motivate them? Do fans? Well, absolutely. But I'm just trying to keep it real. I don't know that it's going to be as big of a motivating factor as Browns fans would really like it to be.
Hey, Daryl, I have an idea for this. You can tell me if you think it's stupid or not. I mean, would it be crazy to bring in either somebody that was, you know, loosely connected to the franchise at that time, or even a fan of Cleveland, somebody that's closer to the Browns, to come and talk to the team for 15 minutes, try to explain that importance, and even, you know, if that gets them 1% more fired up to play this game, that it helps?
Yeah, coaches have done that in the past. And again, I'm going to ask Kevin, you know, a couple of questions along this line. And you know, hey, are you going to bring in anyone special to just, you know, talk? Because former players are around this team all the time, okay? And so the current players do get exposed to the unique bond between this fan base and that football team. You know, like, look at Bernie Kosar, right? Yep. We all love Bernie, and he never won a Super Bowl. He never got to a Super Bowl. So imagine what happens if this team ever has a quarterback that can get them to a Super Bowl, or, you know, win a Super Bowl, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I'm not belittling that love and adulation, not by any stretch of imagination. If anything, I just think it shows how wonderful Browns fans are, even in the face of constant heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be interested to see what Kevin has to say in that regard this week. If he's going to bring in any speakers, I don't know, maybe he should play the Cleveland 95 documentary that I think it was ESPN did years ago. Maybe he ought to play that in a team meeting so that these players can see what happened, the reaction of the fans, and really understand the reason you're in Cleveland right now is because of the fans. The fans went and got the team back after it was taken from them. So, long story short, I don't think it actually materially impacts the outcome of Sunday's game, but, you know, it would be kind of cool if Kevin Stefanski could really, really get these guys fired up, and in turn, these guys really be legitimately fired up to go into Baltimore with that additional motivation, other than, you know, their own of not wanting to fall to 0-2, from the history between these two cities and these two franchises, to help them, give them that little extra intangible to get over the top against the Ravens.
We'll definitely be looking forward to the questions, Daryl. And again, Daryl Ryder with us here. Let's go back to Sunday's game for a little bit here. We've had Ken and other people on the station calling for Andre Schmidt's job. We've certainly have fans calling for Andre Schmidt's job. Is it far too early to be doing that, or do they have a legitimate gripe here?
No, they cost him a game that they had to have. So, no, it's not too early to do that. And listen, that's the business. okay? And I have said this on other shows, and I'll say it on yours. Listen, we're not sitting here talking about him missing a 56-yard field goal, okay?
No.
It was a 36-yard field goal, and it was sunny. Yeah, there were a little breeze, but if you can't make a 36-yard field goal with the game on the line in those weather conditions, what on earth are you going to do 2 months from now when the weather is just brutally awful, right? So as of now, is, you know, Kevin Stefanski said it, repeated again yesterday, you know, hey, we expect him to come through. He did not allude to any changes. There were, honestly, I was expecting them to sign a kicker to the practice squad. I wasn't exactly expecting them to, like, move on per se, but I was expecting that they would just bring in some competition. And hey, if he has a bad practice on Wednesday or Thursday, they do bring in a kicker for the practice squad or something like that as an insurance policy. But right now, all indications are Andre Schmidt's going to be the kicker in Baltimore on Sunday.
Darryl, obviously that wasn't the only part of the game that wasn't promising from the Browns. The run game definitely didn't look that great. To you, more of an offensive line problem that you saw in that game or more lack of talent in the running back room?
I'm going to put that more on the running backs than I am the offensive line, because Joe Flacco was protected fairly well on Sunday. So, and this is where getting Quinshon Judkins up to speed as quickly as possible this week. And look, maybe you can get a package of 15 to 20 plays in there for him just to get him going a little bit, right? Because you don't want to overdo it either. And that, because he is, right, he's QB, or he's our running back one. He's your franchise running back going forward, right? He's your new Nick Chubb per se. And I know that's fair to like throw that on him, but I'm just talking about from a team building perspective. You know, that's how they view him. They view him as their lead running back. So they'll get an assessment Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at practice and see just where he is at. Is he ready to take that on? But if he is, yeah, they got to get him on the field, because that running game on Sunday was really tough to watch. Their longest run of the day was 5 yards. And I can't honestly remember the last time that I saw the Browns play a game where their longest run was like 5 yards. You know, usually, hey, they'd at least squeeze in an 8-yarder or a 10-yard. You know what I mean? Like the fact that the longest run ended up being 5 yards. Now, they compensated for it pretty well. Kevin Stefanski did a good job compensating for it with Dylan Sampson, the 8 catches for 60-plus yards coming out of the backfield. The longest grab went for 14 yards. But what stood out most offensively with this Browns team, just 3 plays of plus 20 yards. Now, for me, and I consider plus 20 yards an explosive play, even the 3 plus 20-yard plays that they had did not look like explosive plays at all. So they've got to find a way to get some explosives into this offense this week, because we know the Baltimore Ravens put together one of the more explosive-filled performances in that loss to the Buffalo Bills Sunday night.
So, Darryl, maybe not necessarily coming into week 2 against Baltimore, because we know how difficult of a matchup this is going to be. But you look at the offense as a whole and how they performed. Was most of the product they put out there good enough to win football games this year, or is there still dramatic improvement that needs to be done?
No, I think it's good enough to win football games this year. If those 4 points on the scoreboard, they win 20-17. Okay? which, as we know, the Browns many years are around that 20-point scoring range, right? 2007... 2020 and 2023 were really the 3 big years where this offense like really scored, right? I'm talking like plus 24 points per ball game, where they really, really scored. Meanwhile, the rest of the National Football League does that with their eyes closed, but not here in Cleveland. But that was good enough to win the football game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sunday offensively, absolutely ball control offense that they played. You had a 16 play drive, you had an 11 play scoring drive, you had a 13 play scoring drive. That is absolutely, Jake, winning football.
Again, Daryl Ryder with us here on the hotline. Daryl, I do want to switch over to the defense for a little bit, and one guy in particular that I think I highlighted that I had my eyes going on into the game to see how he'd perform was Greg Newsome, who graded out very well in PFF and everything else. Does it feel like everything's still on the table for Greg? Is being a Cleveland Brown, right? Like, he's playing on his extension year. Is it still on the table that the Browns, you think, would sign him long-term to be a potential outside corner for them going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. And you're right. He was outstanding Sunday. He played really, really well. And look, this is obviously a big year for him, being the contract year and whatnot. And he's playing where he wants to play, right? Because we remember a couple years ago where, you know, he was a team player, but he did express his frustration at his, you know, defensive role being on the inside and things like that. And really feeling like he is at his best and in his natural comfort zone when he's playing outside. Well, the injury to Martin Emerson Jr. unfortunately opened that door for him, and so now it is the opportunity for him to go out there and take advantage of it and show not just the Browns but show the National Football League, hey, I can be an elite player at this position, and that's what's going to get him paid next March. But yeah, I would never say the door is closed on an extension. I almost made that mistake with Myles Garrett in the spring, or early spring, I should say. I thought he was as good as gone. They kept him. So I have learned you never say never, and I don't feel like signing Greg Newsome to an extension to keep him here. I don't think that that'd be the worst thing in the world as well. The problem is the economics right now. They restructured Denzel Ward's contract. They got about $18-19 million in rollover cap for next season, or next year, I should say, the next fiscal league year. And they're going to need every dollar because they are a very top heavy roster when it comes to not only cash cost but cap cost. And we all know the big boat anchor there, and that's Deshaun Watson. So there may be some economics in play. You know, Andrew Berry can't keep everybody, even if he might want to keep everybody. So that could be, you know, part of this whole Greg Newsome puzzle. But he plays like he did Sunday. I think you got to sign him to an extension, frankly.
Daryl, always appreciate you setting aside the time, giving us a great look forward. And hopefully, when we come to talk to you next Tuesday, we're not just down at the dumps about the Browns getting blown out by 21 by the Ravens.
I like how you said they don't lose by they don't get blown out by 21. I respect the optimism.
Listen, if you set the bar low, all you got to do is crawl over it, Daryl. That's all you got to do. You got to crawl. If we don't lose by 21, might not be the worst thing in the world.
I like the way you think.
All right, Daryl, appreciate you.
You betcha. Thank you.
Our very own Daryl Ryder with us there, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come on back, we'll react to what Daryl had to say and specifically get into a little bit on the kicker, right? We touched on it in the first hour. We'll get into a little bit more. Is it too overreactionary to call for Andre Smith's job? Daryl says no. We'll get into what we think in about 5 minutes. Ravens taking the Browns franchise and then celebrating it while you play the Browns. Very intentional. We can just make that very clear. Like, you could have celebrated it any week of the year. You could have done it week one. You could have done it week three. Incredibly intentional to just go through and be like, hey, you know what? We're going to get that done right here, right now. Right when the Browns are in town. They know exactly what they're doing. But, again, Daryl had some really good stuff on that. I thought it was really interesting, Daryl's assessment of the run game. Because I think Daryl and I are in a little bit of different spots when it comes to that. Because he pinned it more on the talent in the running back room for their struggles on Sunday, whereas I looked at it and I'm like, listen, if your longest run was 5 yards, I'm not saying that you got star power back there. Like, I thought Dylan Sampson looked good in the passing game. I thought he showed you, if you want a change of pace back, he is very capable of playing that role. I also think when your max run is 5 yards, I got to look at the offensive line and be like, hey, can we open a hole? Like, if at some point, if there is a wide open hole to run through, you should be getting at least 6, 7, 8 yards. Okay, like there should be one run where you can just fall forward into 6 yards. Your top run was 5. Like that is a legitimate problem. I think I'm probably looking more at the offensive line to say, all right, this is a scheme you wanted to run. Go open up a hole. Get a lineman downfield a little bit to block a linebacker. Get out, get in motion, and create a big play. Don't necessarily just leave it to those guys. You know what they are. They are home run hitters. There's a possibility for it. I never got that opportunity in my eyes. But talent certainly doesn't help. I do want to get into a little bit more on Andre Schmidt, though, right? Like, obviously, we didn't talk to you guys yesterday. It was the glaring problem throughout the game. Couldn't hit an extra point. Couldn't hit a go-ahead 36-yard field goal in the game. I can't also walk away from this game as angry as it made me. And as much as soon as Andre Schmidt rolls out for his next field goal, whether it's, 23 yards or it's 53 yards, I'm going to have very little faith with what's happening. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat, clenching my fist, being like, please, just knock it through the uprights. Just make me happy. And listen, he did. He knocked a 40-some yarder through the uprights earlier on in the game. He showed that there's an ability there to obviously make the kicks, or else you wouldn't be on a team in the NFL. That would not happen. But I also think the calling for the job thing right out of the gate week one, I get he was bad. It's also his first year in the NFL. And it doesn't just come from, Joe in Cleveland throwing it out there that, we got to take Andre Schmidt and get him out of here. You can stick right here on the station. Ken Carman yesterday reacting to Andre Schmidt and what he would do with the kicker job.
Was that his first NFL game as a kicker?
Yes.
Okay. I do think maybe it would help his confidence to hear that. Don't we give pep talks?
Just hit the kick for crying out loud.
That's great, Kenny.
What are you talking about?
I think he tried to hit the
kicks. Then if you don't hit the kick, then find somebody else who did. I know he tried to make the kicks, but you didn't make the kicks. I'm sorry, son. You got to go. I can't do this. I'll keep trying kickers until we find a kicker who's able to do it. Lord almighty. You're trying to find every single excuse for some guy whose name you can't even spell.
No, I just
told you. Get your head out of your ass.
I told
it's
you.
It's a kicker. Just find a different one.
This is the thing where it's like, okay, you can sit there and we can scream into a mic, just hit the kick. I can sit there and go, just throw the ball. Just complete the pass. Right? And just go out there and complete it. It was open to you. Why didn't you complete it? It's not me sitting there going, well, better cut Joe Flacco today because he threw an incompletion. And I get it. Like, the kick is a more high-pressure situation. Kickers live in this moment. It is not a one-to-one. I don't want to make it a one-to-one. I'm just trying to put into perspective how absolutely absurd it is to call for a guy's job after one day. Like, it is nuts. If I go out there and Cedric Tillman dropped the ball and turned it into an interception, nobody walked away from today going, well, better cut him. Better cut. He scored a touchdown. Yeah, Andre Schmidt hit a 45-yarder. Right? Like, nobody's sitting there going, cut Cedric Tillman today, because you realize how absurd that is. Again, I know the way that the kicker position is, and it's like you are one of the highest pressure positions in the NFL. I know a lot of people look at him and it's like, well, all they got to do is go out there and do one job. You have one thing to do. You could boil down any position into doing that. Wide receiver's job is to catch the ball. Yeah, we know that it's also to run routes correctly, to be able to block, to do everything else. And I think that obviously a kicker has less responsibility, but he's also tasked with the highest pressure position of any time you go out there and you shank one and you miss it 3 feet to the right. Everybody sits there and has this reaction where, well, it's just a kicker. Go get a new one. Guys, how long have we been doing that? You've been doing that since Phil Dawson went and was playing for the Arizona Cardinals. Is that where he went to the 49ers after that, or was it the Cardinals?
Is that Gonzalez you're asking about?
No, Phil Dawson. Where did Phil Dawson go immediately after the Browns? Now it's slipping my mind. I want to say it was the Cardinals. I pulled it out there.
Niners, it very well could have been the Niners.
It was. I think he played for both teams. Immediately went to the Niners and the Cardinals.
Okay.
I had it mixed around. We were somewhere in the ballpark. I know the three teams he played for, but the point still stands, okay? Ever since Phil Dawson was gone, you sat there and you've cycled through kicker after kicker after kicker. You have not gotten an answer, but you have not re-landed on a guy that you have legitimate trust in. So you just want to do the same thing over after one game? After a guy missed one kick, like I can go 30 to 39. You want to talk about rookie season for Phil Dawson? He missed two in that range. I get it. It was 1999. It wasn't necessarily the chip shot that it feels like it is today. But like, if you were calling for jobs, you would have been calling for a Phil Dawson job in 1999. Dude turned out to be the best damn kicker that ever played for the franchise. You don't, and I'm not saying Andre Smith's going to be that. I truthfully probably don't think he's going to be that. He kicked at Syracuse. I don't have a ton of faith in the kid to just magically pop up and be amazing. But if you're just calling for the job to call for the job because he made you angry and he missed a couple of big kicks, I get the reaction. I'm walking around on Sunday, screaming left and right and cursing him up and down that he made me so angry that you have to make those. You absolutely have to make those in those situations. And you do. And I think that it was addressed rather properly. I would not have been mad if the Browns went through and brought in a practice squad kicker today because you do have a rookie and you don't know how great he's going to perform. A rookie in the sense it's first year actually getting NFL action, not necessarily exactly a rookie. But like, okay, you come through and perform or you're going to get replaced. I'm fine with that. I just don't make those decisions after one game, though. You don't make those decisions with anybody else. Nobody else has that expectation on them. They're perfect from day one. I get it. It's a bad day. You cost them a game. If the Browns were a fringe playoff team right now, and you're going, Andre Smith just cost you a game, and that could be the difference in your season, maybe I'm a little bit more reactionary to this. The expectation is the Browns go out there and they win 5 or 6 games. That's what Vegas tells you. It's a 5.5 win total. I'm not cutting a young kid at any point just because he cost you one game. And there was a million different things that you look on the offensive and defensive side of the ball and go, could have done that better, could have done this, could have done that. That legitimately makes a difference. And that game could have been flipped on its head in 19 different places. It's just the obvious glaring hole that is easy to pick on. I don't understand moving on from the young kid immediately. It is, yes, just a kicker position. It's not like, the reincarnation of Adam Vinatieri in the NFL is just sitting there waiting to be picked up. Maybe he is. Probably not, though. You got to go with a guy who you believe is going to make you kicks. You held a kicker competition. You determined Dustin Hopkins does not have it anymore. The contract extension was a mistake. Okay, you moved on from him. You didn't do that so you could cycle through 17 kickers this year. You didn't do that so you could just keep trying guys out until they make you happy for one game, and then it's the exact same thing on the line in game two. You want somebody to hold accountable. You want somebody to say, they costed that game. They're the reason we lost. I get it. I'm not putting that on a 26-year-old kicker. I'll take my chances in letting him have another week. Letting him have a couple more weeks. If he goes through and he keeps missing 36-yarders, yeah, your job's gone. You missed one. Brandon Aubrey missed 2 last year, and he's considered one of the best kickers in the NFL. It happens. Like I need more just proof that you can't go out there and perform in big moments than your first NFL game. I'm sorry. I need more proof of it before I just go kicking guys to the curb. 216-474-0092. Is it too overreactionary to want a new kicker immediately after one game of the season? We're going to get to your calls coming up here in about 5 minutes. Aramis, I see you on the line. We're going to get to your call. We'll react to the Guardians when they wrap up over at Progressive. All coming your way on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. Andre Smith, to just be calling for his job at this point. I didn't want to squeeze in one call because we said we would. Aramis is in West Park. Aramis, what's going on?
Hey, man, so I understand your point of view. I heard Ken this morning. I understand his point of view. Let me just tell you how I feel about it. You know, one too many times, I feel like as a Browns fan, you know, you hear probabilities, you know, like, do you remember the Jets game?
Joe Flacco went and beat you in?
Extra point. It started with a missed extra point. Then our defense got beat. Then they recovered an onside kick. And then we lost a game that the probabilities of us losing that game were like near none. Right. Yep. And here goes another game where we kept maybe the best player in the NFL and Joe Burrow to less than 20 yards in the second half.
Yeah, they had 7 net yards.
Ever been done. Right. Right. And so the probabilities of us beating the team because of how well we played against him were high, and we lost another game. You know, I understand the kid can miss. He's allowed to miss a field goal. It's his first game, so I feel like that's going to actually stick with him longer than if it was somebody that's actually been in the league and been there, done that. So I feel like from that aspect, he's ruined goods. Do you understand? But where's the accountability with our special teams coach? Do you understand? We drafted a 4th-round pick and a kicker. He did not pan out. And I know that's not on Bubba, but he did have our last kicker for 2 years, I believe, right? Or at least last year. Mm. And we signed that kicker for 3 years. He played, really good the first year, and then last year on the Bubba, nothing. You know, he disappeared on us. So, and he's still on the contract, right? Like, we paid him for 3 years, and he paid for 2 years, and we have to let him go. So, you know, what's going on? What is going on? Because then the kicker is that I start watching the Ravens game versus Buffalo, and, dude, it just looks like I'm watching an entirely different league when I'm watching those teams play. You know, just everything is so fluid. Everything just, you know, it's like a rhythm to it that you don't see with the Browns necessarily. And then you see bonehead things like missing an extra point. And again, I understand kickers will miss extra points.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But come on, man. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you put it all together, like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and Aramis, I'm not going to disagree with you. Yeah, like, there is a world here where, and listen, I was frustrated by it, and I appreciate the call. I was incredibly frustrated by it. Like, I'm angry at Andre Schmidt. Like, if you tell me you have no faith going into next week and how he's going to perform, I'm there with you. Like, I have no faith that Andre Schmidt's going to come out and just look incredible. I'm not just painting that as this is what it's going to be. I just feel like that moment is so amplified. Right, like the fact that you lost by one amplifies that moment. I get it. Like, it's a pressure situation, but it's a pressure position, and that's not going to change. You're going to be put in those moments again. Just like, okay, yeah, they miss extra points. I mean, you mentioned Tyler Loop, the rookie for the Ravens, missed an extra point. He missed an extra point in that game. They lost by one. Nobody in Baltimore, and I get it, he's 2-for-2 on field goals. He had a 50-plus yarder, a 52-yarder, but nobody in Baltimore is going, get that guy on out of here. And sure, they burned a draft pick on him, so a little bit more attachment than there is to Schmidt, no doubt. Like, hey, they don't sit there and go, well, that game's on him. Probably because they gave him a 15-point lead to do it. But, like, you just don't bank it on and that one kid because it's the only thing. It's just so amplified here in this moment that I think it puts a lot of pressure on it. Had you lost that game by, you know, 7, I get it. We can play what-ifs. And does it actually pan out in reality? But if you lost that game by 7, sure, you're mad at Andre Schmidt still. Not saying it changes everything, but you're also not looking at it and going, well, he's the reason we lost the game. No, he wouldn't. He gave up 4 points, and he could have had him, but you still would have lost. Like, it is the difference of just that. There's a moment that probably going into Baltimore next week, fat chance he costs you a game. Might miss kicks. You might move on from him anyway. I just feel like if I'm looking at a kid who's got his first shot in the NFL, last thing I want to do is just kick him to the curb right away. Again, you have to perform and you have to perform quickly. I feel like you're at least due a second opportunity, your first go around. It's not like they have somebody lined up to go replace him. Not like if they did, that guy's going to be an all world. Just talent that's going to put the ball between the uprights every time either. So again, I understand the frustration. I understand the anger behind it. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I'm not saying that you're wrong for having it. Again, I am angry at Andre Schmidt. I just feel like the coin for his job thing is just a step too quick. All right. Guardians wrapped up over at Progressive, going up against the Royals and lock in a win. 2-0. They shut out Kansas City. They lock in a win. They pull within 2 games, subject to change for later on in the night when the Seattle Mariners actually decide to play baseball coming up in about an hour. But as of right now, you're within 2 games of a wild card spot. Let's react to that Guardians win the only way we know how, with 3 and Out.
Post-game reaction on The Fan starts now. It's time for 3 and Out. Overtime with Jake Vulnick, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
All right, let's kick things off on first down. This is a take that could just age like milk. And I'm okay putting it out there. Guardians are starting to show that they are big moment made. Right, like you can say everything about this team and the way that they've performed this year. It hasn't been great. It hasn't been god awful as much as we believe that it has been. Again, you are two games within a wild card spot and making it to the playoffs, given the roster that you had. Hey, they're starting to show that they are big moment made. I have counted this team out. I still don't think they're making the playoffs, but I have already counted them out. I would love if they make me eat my words. I will gladly sit here and I will own up to the fact that I was wrong and I should have never counted them out. I should have had belief, but I'm still counting them out at this point. They're showing up at the end of the season. They're coming into games. Yes, you know, you can look at it, and the Royals haven't had Bobby Witt, and they've been struggling to get things going, and the offense has been bad. You've now showed up in the biggest series that you've played all year, right, up to this point, and you've showed up, and you've taken the first two games from that. You went down to Tampa in a four-game set. You took three out of four from there. This is a lineup that I watch. They put out the lineup, and I was like, all right, here we go. Right, Jonkenzie Noel, Austin Hedges. Here we go. They're going to put something together, and they're going to ruin it, and that's going to be that, and this team's going to put themselves another game behind. They continue to find ways to win right now in the biggest moments that there are. They continue to go out and see, especially a guy like Joey Cantillo, who I cannot give my praises enough to tonight, go out there and just perform in the big moments. Hey, the guys on the Guardians right now are not Andre Schmidt. If there's one person you want to be, or team and players that you want to attach to and be happy with today, it doesn't have to be Andre Schmidt. They're the antithesis of Andre Schmidt. They've showed up in the big moments. Just an incredible performance from Cantillo tonight. Pitches into the ninth inning. Doesn't give up a run, although he left one on base before he headed out. But he gives up, you know, a total of eight innings pitched, giving up just four hits, not giving up a run, only walking one guy. It is by no stretch of the imagination a very clear indicator this is his best game as a major leaguer. A guy that, listen, the last time he pitched, when we were on, and I told you, he's like my perfect number five. I don't know why they sent him down in the first place, but he's a guy that gives you 5 to 6 innings, keeps the opponent from scoring more than like 2 or 3 runs, keeps you in ball games, and then you can turn it over to your bullpen at the back end of the rotation. Perfect. He comes out and gives you 8 innings of scoreless baseball. I mean, you are licking your fingers because that does not happen. It should not happen. It happened tonight with Joey Cantillo, and it happened with the guys across the board. They showed up in a big moment. Wasn't a flashy win. You win 2-0. I get it. You want more from the offense. I can agree with you there. But you take the wins the way you can get them. And pitching showed up for you tonight. Offense showed up enough to make sure that that wasn't nullified. They're starting to show their big moment made. They're going to have to continue to show that for the entirety of the end of the season. But they have showed up in the last couple of weeks and said, pressure's on. We're going to play to the best of our ability. All right, let's get to second down. Jose Ramirez once again proves stardom. I mean, an incredible performance from Jose tonight. 3 for 4. Unfortunately, you know, in the bottom of the 8th, he grounds into a double play with a chance to extend the lead. But more of the focus would be the home run double single falling a triple shy of the cycle tonight and being the, once again, over and over again, catalyst for this offense. They going through, you know, he, again, has the homer, scores 2 runs himself, drives in himself, but an RBI there. He counts for the majority of everything that you have. Like, he is literally the 2 runs on the board. He came across the plate and he scored himself on the homer the other time. He plates both runs. Like, he is everything for this offense. And again, we've talked about the importance of Jose, everything that you need to see out of him. He just show up and actually just go through and be the guy. And you can't not be the guy on this team. You have to continue to show up or this team will fail. And just another instance of Jose showing up in those moments. And again, rising to the occasion. You don't have to prove to me that you're a star anymore. I've been convinced for years at this point, Jose, you're good if you want to take the backseat. Nobody would blame you. He refuses to do so. He continues to prove why he's one of the best players in all of baseball. Because when the moments get big, Jose shows up, and he's trying to translate to that team right now. Let's just hope they continue to pick up on the message and continue to feed off the good vibes that Jose's given you. All right, let's get to third down. I said I hated the lineup that you threw out there tonight. I'm sorry, I can't change my opinion. Hey, like, I know that you came and you scored 2 runs, you got the win. I'm not trying to be negative on a day where you're closing the gap. I just don't understand the lineup making by Stephen Vogt on any given night. Like, yes, you want to throw me Stephen Kwan, obviously. Angel Martinez is a guy who's been very bad as of late, but that's fine keeping him in the lineup because I think there's a lot to look forward to there in the future. I love Jose, but then you're giving me David Fry, who played well tonight. You're giving me Jonkensie Noel, who I just probably don't need to see a ton of right now, but I get it. You know, you were going out there and you were clearly gearing up to go try to give him some reps and you needed a guy to play first that wasn't a lefty. Sure. I continue to see Nolan Jones. I continue to see Daniel Schneeman. I get Bo can't catch every night, but God, I just don't want to see a whole lot of Austin Hedges. It just continues to produce. I just hope this is an instance where the team stands in their own way. Again, you survive. You also scored two runs tonight. Bottom line is what bottom line is. You scored two runs. This was not a good lineup. It was not a good performance from the lineup. Pitching carried a lot of the weight here. Please just give me the guys who I have hope can perform, right? Give me Kafis. I get he hasn't been great. Give me as much Manzardo as you could possibly give me. And continue to give me George Valera. I don't care. Like, if he swings and misses and you play it out of the way and he costs you the season, give me the young guys with some hope rather than the same guys I see produce the same result over and over and over again. All right, and the most quick punt you'll ever see, let's punt the ball. Guardians improved to 74-70 as the Royals fall to 73-72. In action again, 6:40 tomorrow. Logan Allen gets the start, 4.46 ERA, with a to-be-determined potential bullpen game coming your way from the Royals. Again, 6:40 tomorrow. 216-474-0092. More of your reaction on the Guardians' 2-0 win, and whether or not it matters if they make the playoffs in 5 minutes on overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.